Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and I'm here with Tarun Davda, Managing Director, Matrix Partners India. Today's episode is about extreme referencing. So Tarun, why do extreme referencing and what is it about?
So Saloni, I think, you know, one of the biggest issues when we talk to our founders, when we talk to sort of senior execs in some of our portfolio companies, you know, one of the biggest issues that founders speak about is org building, right? And within that, you know, there's a saying which is, you show me someone who's done hiring and I'll show you someone who's made hiring mistakes, right? It's as common as that. And so I think one of the, you know, the reality is when you're making a hire, you actually don't know what you're getting into. There are almost always surprises down the road. And that leads to frustration, that leads to loss of time, that leads to, you know, loss of productivity. And the stakes are even higher when you hire senior talent. Doing references for, you know, people that you're looking to invest in, or doing references for sort of people you're looking to hire at the senior level, you know, in our experience, drastically reduces the chances of those errors. The second is, our belief is that by definition, interview process generally reveals what are most commonly known as extrinsics. It's not a word, but again, it's, you know, think of it as extrinsics versus intrinsics. The reality is, you know, you tend to cover the person's background, their experience, their, you know, various roles that they've played, where they've studied, what they've done, you know, what challenging projects they've sort of, you know, been a part of. But there's very little that you can find out about somebody's, you know, intrinsic capability, right? Their personality, their key strengths, their drive, their working culture, the, you know, the fit with the company. These are things that are hard to glean during a interview process, right? That's second. The third is, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people have faced this, one can fake a 4 to 6 hour interview process, right? It's hard to fake day-to-day output that has happened over a long period of time working closely with someone in the real world. And so generally what we've seen is picking up the phone and speaking to a few people who have closely worked with that individual that you're looking to either invest behind or to, you know, hire, tends to reveal a lot more than any interview process can. There's a saying, you know, that eventually you are the sum of the five people that you've sort of, you hang out with or you work with. And so if that's true, well, you know, our belief is that getting to those five people and learning about them and what they think of this individual is paramount before you make that decision.
Okay. But when going through the process of extreme referencing, what would you say are the top things to keep in mind when doing this?
Very good question. So I would say, you know, some of the things that, you know, when you know, obviously all of us as investors and as founders and as, you know, executives end up doing some sort of referencing, right? And some of the things that I've picked up over time, one is who you speak with is as important as what you ask. And so getting to the right trusted source who can tell you sort of relevant information about the particular candidate is extremely important. I almost always skip the references that are provided. And instead, I only work my network to try and get to those, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 people who are the people who have worked with this individual directly, have had the chance to observe not only the hard skills, but also the soft skills of that individual over a reasonable period of time. Because only then can you get a real color on that individual. So that's number one. Second is, how you ask is as important as what you ask. And we'll cover, again, you know, some more nuance over there in terms of how you can ask certain things so that the person ends up revealing more than they would have otherwise. Third, what the person doesn't say is as important as what the person says, right? And so very often when we're doing, you know, reference calls, actually, you know, reading between the lines and, you know, what the person is sort of skipping as part of that you know, reference call tells us a lot more about than, you know, versus what is just being said. The other thing is, you know, how the person says it is as important as what the person says, right? And so there are times where I've done a reference call on an individual and, you know, the person that I've spoken to has given me a positive reference. 2 days later, I ended up speaking to that same individual for another person, for another sort of candidate that we were looking to hire. And it was a positive reference again, but the tone and the positivity and the body language of the person when he was giving the reference for this individual was just much more excited, much more table thumping. He said maybe the same things, maybe 15-20% difference. Mm-hmm. But what made it a 100% difference in my mind was basically the fact that this person was just so excited to give a reference for this individual. And so I actually asked this person. I said, listen, I spoke to you a few days ago and you told me very positive things about that person and also. Mm-hmm. And so how do you compare these two? And he says, you can't compare them. This person, the second one that I was talking about was just significantly higher in his mind. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that's the individual that we all are trying to get to. And so I think, you know, just reading somebody's sort of tonality is extremely important as much as what they say. Third is, again, just some tips, right? I think setting context and assuring mutual confidentiality is very important. I think, you know, very often, you know, you end up speaking to somebody and they aren't sure, you know, who else is on the call. They aren't sure, you know, where this information is going to be shared. They aren't sure if it's going to be, you know, put up on some, you know, internal, you know, CRM software. Mm-hmm. They aren't sure if it's going to be circulated in an email to your HR team. Mm-hmm. And so I generally start these calls saying, you know, thanking them for their time, setting a little bit of the context of why I'm trying to sort of get information about this individual.
Right.
What is the decision that is, you know, this that hinges on this particular reference.
Right.
And then telling them unequivocal terms that, you know, whatever this person says is going to stay confidential between me and that individual. And I think that really helps people open up a lot more. And I think just remembering that, you know, no one is perfect. I think the idea of a reference or a BRC, as we call it, which is a blind ref check, is not to find negatives. It's mm-hmm. as much about sort of validating your own read of the person and reinforcing some of the positives that you picked up. But it's also actually in just in terms of understanding the expectations and matching it to the role that you have in mind. Understanding that, you know, here is why I am betting on this individual. Mm-hmm. Here is why I'm looking to invest in this individual. Here is why I'm looking to hire this individual. And knowing what are the known knowns and the unknown unknowns, mm-hmm. I think that is really what it comes down to. Right? And I very often, I think people don't understand that the reason for doing a reference check is exactly that. Mm-hmm. Final tip, I think as far as possible, I recommend that people do video calls and not audio calls. I just think people find it easier to lie on telephone calls. And so as far as possible, I do request someone to do a quick video call. And I generally feel that, you know, you end up getting a lot more out of that than email would. And I mean, I would definitely not email. Because again, people don't generally want to be quoted on record, don't want to find themselves saying something negative about an individual. They don't know where that email will be forwarded. And so I end up almost always doing either a video call or in the worst case, a phone call.
Okay. You also just mentioned the how you ask part. Can you share some examples on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, a classic example, right? One of the things that, you know, when I started out earlier on, what I used to do when I used to ask someone, hey, tell me about this person's weaknesses or tell me about this person's area of development, right?
Yeah.
Generally, people in India don't, or maybe it's all over, I don't know, but I found it more so in India. People don't like to say something negative about anyone because they feel like it may come in the way of the person's career. They may feel like they owe it to this person to support them, and which is fair. And, it, you know, I think it has its place, but very often what they don't realize is that sometimes you're doing this not because it's going to be a ding on the person's, you know, your decision to hire that person or not, or to, you know, invest in that person or not. But it's also because you're trying to understand whether the person has the right skill set.
Yeah.
And certain skills are less important than others, depending on what you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. And so instead of saying what is this person's, you know, weakness, I generally say, you know, what would this person need to work on to become more effective as a leader,
mm-hmm.
right? Or, you know, what can I do as a manager to help this person up for success in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Or what kind of person should I pair X with so that he or she is more effective in their role?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's in some way, it's telling you the same thing, which are sort of certain gaps in skill set. but your there's a much more positive spin to it. Mm-hmm. And so what I found is that people will tend to open up a lot more than they would have otherwise. So that's one thing. Second is, you know, open-ended yet specific questions can reveal a lot more than one can think, right? And so I've seen that, you know, very often some of my decisions to either invest via someone or hire someone have changed mm-hmm. with this one single question, right? And I like asking this question every time, which is, assume I hire X. And if you were to find out 1 year from now that things did not work out, what would be your first instinct on what went wrong? And it's amazing how quickly people will say one or two things that will tell you about what is the exact concern about that they have about that individual, right? And again, it's, you know, I think it's, like I said, it's very often about how you ask that question. If you tell somebody, why should I not hire this person? They may not say it. If you ask somebody, you know, tell me one negative quality about this person, they will not say it. But the moment you ask the question another way, I think, you know, people tend to open up a lot more. And I think that's this thing. The other thing is, I think asking them to compare with other common people. Like I mentioned in the other example, very often I'll speak about someone and the feedback is positive because it is positive, right? But all of us are here to find the absolute sort of best in and hire for our companies. All of us are here to, you know, invest in the absolute best founders. And so actually asking that same individual, and hopefully, you know, if you have a network and if you've spoken to those people earlier and have some common people, actually saying, hey, how would you compare X with this other person that both you and I know on sort of these three characteristics or these three traits, right? It really, really helps. The difference between a 7 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 is very, very clear in that conversation. Wow. Versus, you know, both a 7 out of 10 and 9 out of 10 is positive, but the variance between the two becomes a lot more clearer, right? And so I think, you know, these are some of the things that, you know, I've picked up over time about how the reference is to be conducted.
Got it. Has there ever been a situation where extreme referencing has helped you make up your mind on a deal? Or on a person?
Several, actually. I will say one of our early deals, one of my early deals where I was part of, I think Ola is probably one example that, you know, comes to mind right away. Mm-hmm. Also because, I mean, the company has done excessively well. But, you know, going back to when we were, you know, when we were actually doing the diligence on the company, mm-hmm. it was a difficult decision to make. Ride hailing was not as well known an industry as it is today. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anywhere as mature as it is today. This was back in 2012. Mm-hmm. You know, we had, you know, there were multiple concerns that not just us, but multiple investors had on sort of the regulatory environment. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that just kept us wanting to spend more time on the opportunity was just Bhavish and, you know, how good we thought he was, right? Mm-hmm. And that's played out, but, you know, obviously it wasn't as clear back then as it is today. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I remember speaking to several people, at least 15 to 20 people that, you know, Bhavish would have touched at some point in his life, either as a student or as a, you know, a young early employee at Microsoft Research where he was before he started Ola. I hadn't spoken to his, you know, hostel, you know, wingmates and his, you know, dorm mates. I remember the one conversation there were two conversations that really, really, I think changed whether, you know, I think the penny dropped on those two conversations. The one was a extremely well-respected entrepreneur that I know, and I don't want to quote him because obviously his feedback was confidential, but it's someone that we at Matrix respect a lot. And he had the good fortune of having, you know, several conversations with Bhavish in his early days when mm-hmm. Bhavish was just starting out. Mm-hmm. And he made this one line, and I still remember that line, and he said, I just see a lot of myself in him.
Wow.
Right? And I think there is no better sort of stamp of approval than saying that. Again, for this is somebody who's very successful, there's somebody who's achieved a lot in his life. And if that person says, I see myself in my early days in Bhavish, I think to us that was a huge sort of positive. The second is, I had spoken to, you know, dozens, if not hundreds, of cab drivers. And again, Bhavish was very young when he started Ola, and he had got a few hundred or a few thousand cab drivers already in his fleet then. And one of the concerns we had was, is he going to be able to manage sort of, you know, these drivers, right? It's not easy to as a young techie to be able to do that. And pretty much the unequivocal feedback that we had from all the drivers that were part of the early fleet was they absolutely loved Bhavish. Right? And there was this one, I still remember the one line, and this driver said, "Bilkul sajjan aadmi hai." Right? And for us, just hearing some of these things about the fact that here's a young guy, you know, out to disrupt a, you know, large traditional industry, but has already got the respect of all the drivers, is seen as fair, is seen as, you know, doing good for the driver community, to us that was a big positive. And so I think just getting that sort of 360 degree, and in my view, you know, finally these were, I mean, there's definitely a lot more, but these were two that really come to mind that sort of helped us, you know, tip over into making the Ola investment, and thank God we did.
Okay. And what stage in the interviewing process would you say that it's the right time to start doing BRCs?
So I would say this one is a little bit controversial, and I think different people have different ideas around it. But generally, my bias is to do at least a couple of BRCs even before you start spending any time interviewing the candidate or spending time with the candidate. And I'll tell you why. I think interview processes tend to be, you know, long drawn out. They tend to be involve multiple people in the team. Very often you can go from interview to interview and still not be able to make up your mind on a candidate. And sometimes you don't know where to spend time when you're interviewing. In my experience, actually making that effort to, you know, message a couple of people in the network who may know this person, getting on a quick 5-minute call with that individual, being able to really understand who this individual is, what is it that makes them tick, what are the two or three things that are the watch outs for that individual, in my mind, if nothing else, helps you guide the interview process a lot more tightly. And it helps you actually, you know where to spend time and whether to spend time. In significant number of cases, after the first few references, you will realize that you don't need to interview or you don't need to spend more time. In other cases, like I said, it just helps guide and the interview process a lot more effectively. And you end up getting to an answer much faster. Right? If your first one or two references are glowing, you know that that's the candidate you want to accelerate through the pipeline. If your initial references are sort of, you know, mixed, you also know again that, you know, it's not someone that you want to spend as much time on, or you probably just don't want to spend any time on. The other thing that I think I would add over here is that doing the references yourself, at least the key ones, or at least all the ones for a key hire or a, you know, founder that you're looking to invest in, I found that to be extremely helpful. This is not one of the things that one can delegate, right? Because again, you know, referencing is more an art, less a science. And knowing what to ask, knowing how to ask, knowing what to read into, knowing what to involve, you know, knowing what to ignore, knowing which threads to, you know, dig deeper into, it takes some time and it takes a lot of context to know sort of what is it that the person is, you know, really trying to say. And in some cases, you know, avoiding saying, right? Yeah. And so I think the other thing that we try and do as much, again, as at Matrix as possible is, you know, every deal lead, every partner who's on a deal will themselves get on and do at least a few key references themselves and not, you know, delegate it to the rest of the team.
Okay. And how many people would you say is the right number to speak to when you're doing a BRC? Or how deep should you go and when should you stop?
I would say as many as you can. But generally what I found is when there's a pattern that starts emerging. So, you know, let's assume you do the first call, you learn something about the individual. You do a second call, you do a third call. And if you're hearing different things, you've probably not been able to get to all the key references that you need to get to. If you're hearing pretty much the same thing in the third call and the fourth call and the fifth call, I think you, and assuming you've got to the right people, I think then you're reasonably, you know, you can be assured that, yes, I think I figured out this person and I figured out sort of, you know, what I need to know, right? Second, I think if you can spend at least a few minutes describing this person, and not what's on the resume, not, hey, he worked at company X and then he went to company Y and he played this role and then he studied at, you know, ABC place. It's actually about, you know, can you talk a little bit about this person's personality? Can you talk a little bit about this person's sort of, you know, behavioral traits? Can you talk a little bit about what drives this individual? Can you talk a little bit about, here are the two areas where this person is, you know, not as good today and needs to sort of, you know, needs help? or needs to build from there. I think that's when you feel that, okay, I think I have a good grasp of this individual, right? And that's probably the right time to, you know, stop. The other thing I do is I ask the references for other key references. And if you hear the same name coming up again and again, and you've spoken to those people, you know that you've got to all the right people, right? So if I'm hiring somebody and I say, hey, who else can I speak to at your company who would have worked closely with this person? Or who else do you think from his past career was somebody that, you know, this person worked very closely with? And, you know, if you're hearing again, you know, the same 3, 4, 5 names, you know, coming out again and again, and you've spoken to all or most of them, I think that's probably a good place to stop, because then you know that you've hit all the key people. How do you know if it's too early to stop? I would say if you can't clearly articulate a few negatives. Everybody, none of us are perfect. Everybody is some version of a work in process. Everybody has multiple strengths. Everybody has multiple areas where they aren't as strong and they're working on. But knowing what those are and knowing whether those are absolute must-have for what you are looking to do is important, right? And so if you aren't able to spell out at least, you know, a few things that this person needs to improve upon, you're stopping too early.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add to this topic?
I think just reinforcing, I think in my mind, referencing is as much an art as it is a science. And I think recognizing it as such is important, because there is no script that one can follow in a reference call. Right. In fact, that's probably one of the biggest mistakes one can make, is have a standard checklist of 10 questions, go through that checklist and say, okay, I've done my reference call.
Right.
It's the worst way to do a reference. Actually, hearing what the person is saying, following their lead, following the thread, trying to dig deeper on a particular aspect that this person is trying to talk about, asking the next level question based on what they answered in your previous question, picking up things that they're not saying, but they're trying to say or they're trying to hint at, is important. And then picking up that thread and going a bit deeper, spending time to, you know, get the person comfortable, spending time to ask them the question in the right way such that it puts them in a zone where they are, you know, willing to open up to you. I think those are things which are important. Secondly, I think when in doubt, trust the BRC. My experience has been, if my view and the BRC view is different, I am almost always wrong. It's been very rare, if at all, I can't even remember a single instance where I have felt in a particular way about an individual and the reference has been diametrically opposite. I don't remember when I was right. It's almost always that the reference was right and I was wrong. Right. And so actually trusting your gut is a wrong answer in most cases. And trusting the references is much more important, I would say. And there are, you know, some of the best investors in the world. I can't remember. I think it was Fred Wilson who had said this, that, you know, he overweights when his view on a particular individual is different from what he's heard from references, he overweights the references by more than 70%, right? And that's allowed him to sort of be as successful as he has been as an investor.
Okay, so to quickly summarize everything that you've covered, firstly, extreme referencing comes into play when you want to gain deeper insight into a person, much more than what the surface level interview process provides. Contrary to popular belief, it should be done as early in the interviewing process as possible, and ideally even before you begin interviewing. Secondly, who you speak to is more important than what you ask. It's important to go beyond the references provided by the candidate, work your own network to find the right people to do a BRC with, to eventually get to all the right answers. Also, how you ask is more crucial than what you ask when conducting reference checks. And thirdly, conveying mutual confidentiality upfront in a conversation is paramount in the process of referencing. And lastly, when in doubt, always trust the BRC. If you have a contrarian point of view to what you've learned from the BRC, chances are that they're right and you're not. Thank you for listening, and you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.